Moses is called the man or a friend of God. So let's turn in our Bibles and look at this incident that we have. Thank you, Donovan. That was beautiful. In Exodus chapter 33, and I want to read from verse 7 till verse 23 so you can get the whole context of what we're going to talk about tonight. Exodus 33. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside of the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his own tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Next one. Thanks. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us that we are so distinct, I and your people, from every other nation, other people of the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I will know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Gracious Lord. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." I want to say, like, that he hides us in Jesus, the rock. And he brings us to a cleft of a rock. He's just gracious because he says, "You can't see my glory. You can't see all of it. You will surely die because there's still sin. You don't have a glorified body." But Moses prays three things, and I want to look at these three things, or ask three things. And Moses was a man of prayer. And I want to look at the deeper life tonight. I'm sure that each one of us here tonight, we would love to go deeper with Jesus. So before we dive into our portion of scripture, let's quickly turn to our attention to Hebrews 11. I want to show you something. Hebrews 11 verse 25 and 26. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God. This is about Moses. This is the chapter on faith. And it says, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. It's talking about Moses. He didn't regard the things of Egypt. Remember, they were in Egypt. They were stuck in Egypt. They were in exile in Egypt. And then one day God said, I'm going to deliver my people. And there was the plagues, and we see all those things happening. And Moses led the people out of Egypt, which really is a picture in the Bible of the world as we are taken out of the world into the more, into the promises of God. He was looking for the reward. And how was he looking at it? He was looking by faith. He was looking. The reward wasn't there yet. Remember, now 40 years, they've been traveling in the desert. But they're looking by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6, if we look at that quickly, just want to remind you. Now, by faith, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. God is pleased by faith. Moses was a man of faith. Moses was a man of faith. You see, Moses in Exodus, seeking the Lord in this portion, in the tent of meeting, he's drawing near to God. In other words, he's praying. He's praying. In the New Testament, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door behind you and pray. That's exactly what Moses did. Went into a tent and he prayed. And he prays three vital things. Things that are foundational for every Christian. Things that are pillars in our life for prayer, and then things that will allow you to grow deeper in your faith. The first one we find in Exodus 33, verse 12 and verse 13. He says, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. What does it mean? Show me your ways. Teach me your ways. What does it mean? First of all, you're asking God to teach you about His culture. That's what He's asking. Teach me about your culture, God. Remember, Moses grew up as an Egyptian in an Egyptian culture. And then for 40 years, he was in the desert as a shepherd and as a nomad. So that's his culture. Each one of us have a culture. Malawian, South African, Afrikaans, Engels, you name it. Biker. Ethan. Ethan is the culture on his own. I love Ethan. Ethan is my son in the Lord. I love him so much. But we have these cultures. We embrace these cultures. But there's one culture that we should ask. And we should say, God, what is your culture? Teach me your ways, God. Teach me your ways. He's asking to lead a group of people in a new way. He says, God, you need to teach me because I need to lead these people in a brand new way. Because I actually don't know. Moses is saying, and he's actually admitting, is that I don't know enough, God. I don't know enough. I need to get insight into your culture, how you do things. What is your expectations? And what do you want us to be? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to look like, Lord? Teach me, Lord. And the only way that we're going to find it is through the Word of God. This should take us all straight to the Word of God. Because this is the manual. This is the instruction. You know, Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay. Now you know. This is your basic instructions. This is what we go to. So if I want to know what God's culture is like, I need to go to the Bible and see what God is like. I was speaking to a good friend of mine this week, and we're talking theology, which is not always good when you talk theology. But I said to him, my friend, you always got to go as a good theologian. If you want to do systematic theology, go to the source. Go to the theos of the Logos. Go to him. Go to God. Start with God. But we want to start with eschatology, like the end times. We want to start with pneumatology, which is the Holy Spirit's move. And we want to start with all these things. And I'm saying, start with him. Start with God. What is God like? What is God's character? Because if you know God and his character and his ways, then you'll understand how totally insignificant we really are. How small we are in comparison to his greatness and his glory and his majesty. Then my little world totally becomes insignificant, really. Yet he decides to break into your world. Yet he wants to be part of your life. Yet he wants to be your friend. Yet he wants to meet with you and have a relationship with you. After 32 years, that baffles me. Like David prayed, he says, what is man that you even think about us? The New King James says that you are mindful of us. What is man that God even actually thinks about you and me? But yet he does. Therefore he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. For you and for me. He deserved nothing, but yet he took everything upon himself. You see, some of what we might, of what we do might not even be evil. The things that we, but we need to be absorbed almost in God's ways. We need to absorb God's ways. You might be doing good stuff. It's not all evil. But we need to say, God, what is your way? What is the best way? What is your will? That's what Jesus prayed when he said, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 2 quickly. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So don't succumb to the culture of today. Don't fall for the quick fixes, the quick answers, the TikTok reels, the TikTok theologians. Be careful. Be careful. But be transformed by the not removal of your mind. You see, because some Christians, they leave their brains in the cubbyhole before they come to church. Don't do that. Jehovah Cerebrum, the Lord that gives brains to the stupid. Okay. There's a new name for Jehovah. God gives brains to all of us to think, because there's a renewal of our minds. Don't just suck everything up that you read and you listen to and like, oh my goodness. And then you got to run to your pastor and he's like, pastor, oh, the devil let me strip attack. And you've been looking like a zebra by the time that, because it's always the devil that is strip attack. No. But you've been eating the wrong food and you've been hanging out with the wrong culture. You've been listening to the world and not to God. You've not been inquiring from the Word. There's no name like Jehovah Cerebrum in the Bible, if you were wondering. Okay. It's a Stefanism. Years ago, I was like, God, please give those stupids some brains. Just give us brains, Lord. Because we really lose it sometimes. We lose it. And all we need to do is go back to the Word, the undiluted Word of God. Take it literal. Oh, I think it might be figurative. It will only be figurative if the Bible tells you it's figurative. But otherwise, it's literal. If it's 6 days, it's 6 days. Maybe it's 6,000. No, it's 6 days. No man, which part of this don't we understand? No man knows the hour when Jesus is coming back. Ooh, there's an eclipse happening, and we're thinking as the alignment of all the X's. Ooh, and ooh, X's. Come on. Let me get off my hobby horse right now. Let's get to the presence. Oh, Lord, help us. We need to reflect the character of God. I need to reflect the character of God in my own character. It's got nothing to do with my character. It's got to do with His character. Am I reflecting exactly what Rochelle said? If I need to preach to the nations and I need to show them hospitality, am I showing the nations hospitality? Am I showing the nations peace? Am I showing the nations the love of Christ? Because that's what He's asking us to do. Each one of us, His character. Absorb as much of heaven that He's going to reveal to you. Something I've learned in my life. Absorb all that He reveals. Everything of Himself, absorb that into your life. When you spend time with Him, say, Lord, change me. I do not want to go from this place until You change me. When you come to church, don't come sit here just to be a spectator. Be a participator and say, Lord, change me. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same the way that I walked through those doors tonight. I don't. Because then I will be a sinful man. And I will just perpetuate my sin. But I want to change. I want to change. Maybe this is part of what Jesus was saying in His prayer in Matthew 6 verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Your culture, Your kingdom culture come. And Your will be done. The next thing, it's only three things. The first one was, teach me Your ways. The second one is, Lord, guarantee me Your presence. And this is we find in verse 14. In actual fact, I want to maybe, I didn't ask the guys to put it up, but in chapter 33, verse 3, it's a bit of a change to what God was saying to him. In chapter 33, verse 3, it says this, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up amongst you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Stever Ducknecker. That's what He's calling them. Go read Jeremiah what God calls some people. He says, you're like a donkey that's on heat. I haven't heard those prophecies. Jeremiah chapter 3, he prophesies it. He says, you're a people that's like a donkey in heat. You can do nothing with you. That's exactly what he's saying. You're a stiff-necked people. I cannot go with you because I will consume you. I will kill you. Thank the Lord that He responds, not just to our prayer, that He responds to faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Moses is a man of faith, and he's standing in faith in that tent, and he's praying. And he's saying, God, You must go with us. We cannot go without You. And God says, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Why? Why did God change? He's responding to faith. He's responding to the faith of Moses. Not because of the relentless prayer and the petitioning and the, no, just the faith. Faith. The substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. God likes the attitude of Moses' faith. He likes the attitude. It's pleasing to him. Moses is saying this. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? That's really what Moses is asking. What else will distinguish us, me and your people, from the rest of the people on the face of the earth? He's asking that question. And it's your presence. Otherwise, we're just another club that meet on a Sunday night, drink some good coffee and go home and have lack of fellowship. I'm hungry for his presence. Because that is what sets us apart. That is what makes us holy. Holiness is to be set apart unto the Lord. We're different. We're different. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 is such a beautiful verse, this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they didn't care about theology, they were astonished. Why? And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's all. That being with Jesus. Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Can people recognize that? Did you just spend some time in his presence? Praying. Seeking his face. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You want joy in your life? Spend time with Jesus. Acts chapter 2 verse 28. You have made known to me the path of life. There he's actually quoting it now. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. You have a tough day. You feel depressed. Life is just coming at you hard and fast. Find the presence. Find Jesus. Remember the story that was told about Andrew Murray walking in the main road of Wellington. And one day he stepped either on or off a sidewalk and he almost tripped and fell. And a policeman came and grabbed him and said, Dr. Murray, are you okay? And he said to him, son, for a moment there, I felt like I've lost the presence of God. Come on. Just walk with him day by day. That there's moments where I don't want to lose your presence, Lord. I remember Mervis from the Maver telling us stories of having moments where he runs out, he's having dinner with people and he runs into the toilet and he stands in the toilet and he's like, Jesus, I just need time with you. That's it. I just need time with you. I'm like, I just think about the steak that's on my plate. What an ungodly man I am. Wretched man that I am. I don't think about the presence. Sure. Lord, help us. Moses is saying, I'm not going to do this alone. I want to know you are where you can, where I can call upon you. I'm not going on this journey unless your presence is guaranteed. What does presence imply? It implies guidance. If his presence is with us, his guidance is there for us. What does presence also imply? It implies help. He's our helper. The Bible says in a time of need, He's there. The Holy Spirit is always there, our helper. And presence also implies and signifies companionship. He's our friend. And what's the last thing that Moses prayed is this. He says, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. This is a powerful prayer. Glory sums up. Glory, this is in verse 18, chapter 33, verse 18, if you want to read that. Glory sums up the worth and the power of a person. Hear me out. So if you say there's glory upon that person, it's the worth and the power of that person, organization, or nation. And how does God reveal His glory to Moses? God says, I will tell you my name. The Lord. I am. And why is He saying, I will tell you my name? Because your name reveals your character. Exodus 34, verse 7. Let's read this. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity. This is it. This is, it says, this is who I am. And God is telling Moses, this is who I am. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children on the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Is that the only verse? Hey. 6 and 7. Did you give me 6? Yeah. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's His name. This is His character. This is who God is. Slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving our wickedness and our sin. God is saying to each one of us, I have a character that is flawless and absolutely dependable. In closing, you might be saying today, I want to go deeper. I want to be a person of faith. Where do I start? Some of you might even say, we've done Christianity 101. We've done it. We've done all the things that Christians should be doing. We've had a prayer life dependent on just changing my circumstances. Lord, just change my circumstances. Or we might be saying, God, solve my problems. Help me out. Increase my paycheck. Make my husband or wife love me more. Maybe this is our prayer lives. Lord, give me friends. Instead, the Lord says, I want to take you deeper. You need to focus on deepening your intimacy with God. Then start where Moses, the man of faith, started. He's facing his own extreme challenges that's lying ahead of him. And he prayed these three powerful prayers. Teach me your ways. Guarantee me your presence. And Lord, show me the revelation of your power and glory. Those are the deeper things. This is the deeper life. I want to ask you to close your eyes quickly. And I want to end off with a quote from A.W. Tozer. If your soul cries out to God, for the loving God, and your dry and empty heart despairs of living a normal Christian life, then I ask you, is your desiring all-absorbing? Is it the biggest thing in your life? If your heart cries out yes, to the questions you may be on your way to a spiritual breakthrough that will transform your whole life. Lord, we cry out. My soul longs like a deer that is panting for water. My soul longs for you. My soul longs for a loving God. My heart is dry and empty. And Lord, maybe we've done Christianity 101 and we've done all the things, but Lord, we want to go deeper. And maybe you're sitting here tonight. And some of you haven't even started this journey, this wonderful journey of having a relationship. Like Moses had a relationship with God, meeting with him in that tent like a friend face to face. And if you're sitting here and you want to be a friend of God, then it starts with two things. You need to acknowledge three things. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And you need to confess Him, your Lord and your Savior. Confess your sin, but confess Him as Lord. It's that easy. It's that easy. Lord, in this evening, if you're here, if you're sitting here and you want to say, Stephen, I want to be a friend of God, and I haven't started this journey at all, just quickly lift up your hand because I would love to pray with you and lead you in prayer. This will be the start of your journey today. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. There's somebody that will pray with you. Anybody else? Anybody else? There you go, sir. There you go. Thank you. Anybody else? If guys can go pray there, somebody can go pray there. Be good. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Tian. Anybody else? Just says, yes, that's me, Stefan. I'm desperate for just this meeting, this place of surrendering, this place of, yes, Lord, this is me. I've run my race this far, and it's actually I've just messed it up. Anybody else that need prayer today? I'd say, yes, I want to surrender my life. Father, I pray for those that have put up their hands. Pray, God, that you come and touch them right now. Change their lives, Lord. They'll never be the same. They will never be the same. They came in one way, and they'll leave a brand new creation. You're doing a miracle in their lives right now, Lord. But then I want to ask those that are sitting here, and you say you want to go deeper. I would love you to stand, because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for the presence that it will be so thick in your rooms, in your cars, in your children's rooms, at work, everywhere that you go, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will go before you. God, we desire you for more of you, Jesus. Just in your own words, say to him, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. Show me your ways, God. Show me your glory, God. Show me your presence, God. Guarantee me your presence, Lord. I don't want to just have broken fellowship. I want to be a friend of God that meets face to face. Oh, Jesus, come. Lord, the cry of our hearts as a congregation, as people, is more of you, Lord. More of your presence, Lord. Because in your presence there is fullness of joy. Fullness. Your power is in that presence. We thank you for this, Lord. Father, for this week we pray that you will come and bring breakthrough. Even for some that are standing here that need breakthrough, Lord, in their businesses, in their personal lives, in finances, Lord, bring breakthrough. Go before us, Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the hearts, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen.